Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we are in chapter 6 of Sandeha Nivarini. In the previous episode, we started contemplating on what Bhagwan has written. And just the first initial lines of chapter 6 brought forth so many ideas and so many beautiful thoughts that we didn't realize that more than an hour had passed and we were still discussing how there is Shubham and Ashubham in everything and how Bhagwan says it is because of His grace that you can get this experience. When the devotee asks, Swami, everything is Shubham. Without it, everything is Ashubham. Swami says, good, but have you realized how both these are based only on grace? Both these are embedded in everything. Just this thought of Bhagwan took us into beautiful discussions and we did not go further in understanding what Bhagwan has written. In this first segment, segment 6.1, we have divided this chapter 6 into three segments, and this chapter has very deep concepts which are fundamental to spiritual understanding, concepts which should be clear in our mind while walking on the spiritual path. And today, it is our good fortune that Bhagwan has sent to the studios Professor V. Chandrasekharan, to put it correctly. Professor Chandrasekharan has served as the head of the Department of Mathematics and Computer Science in the Prashant Nilayam campus from the years 2004 to 2015 and continues to serve in the department. Someone who was brought to Bhagwan's lotus feet in a very interesting manner. We have had Sir earlier during the Prema Vahini Satsang sessions, and someone whose life is replete with this idea of God first, world next, and myself last. Someone who came to Bhagwan and lived a life of tremendous faith and surrender, and then experienced the sweetness of that connect with the divine. So it's really Bhagwan's blessing that we have him today. Along with him, we also have Brother Srinivas Rao, who has been with us through this journey of Sandhya Nivarini. So let's pray to Bhagwan and see how he guides our thoughts today. Let's listen once again to segment 6.1 and then we will see how Bhagwan leads us this session.
Namaste, Swami.
Shubhamastu, my boy.
With your grace, everything is Shubham, auspicious. Without it, everything is Ashubham, inauspicious.
Good. But have you realized how both these are based only on grace? Both of these are embedded in everything. Well, let that be. Last time I gave you a folk poem for your mind to contemplate upon. After that, in what state is your mind now?
Everything now appears like a puppet show. Each incident systematically strung with the other like in a rosary. What is mentioned is true. In spite of knowing and experiencing all this, the mind still gets into delusion. What mystery is this, Swami?
My boy, the mind is associated with all kinds of vrittis or tendencies. It always follows the trail of the vasanas or tendencies accumulated over many births. This is its very nature.
So, we cannot set this right. Then, what is the way forward? Ultimately, are we to get immersed in vasanas and be ruined, Swami?
There is hope, my boy. No need to get immersed and lost. Though it is its nature, it can be changed. The blackness is natural to charcoal. That does not mean that is its end nature. When fire enters it, the charcoal becomes red. So too, even though the mind is always wandering in the darkness of worldly attachments, when through the Lord's grace, the fire of wisdom enters it, its innate nature changes and the divinely associated sattvic nature manifests in it.
So that is what Bhagwan has written. And I think there are so many beautiful sentences, and each sentence is something that can take us on a journey of contemplation, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, isn't it, sir? Where Bhagwan is saying that in spite of knowing and experiencing all this, the mind gets into delusion. Everything now appears like a puppet show, the devotee says. And I think that is something which comes to any devotee who learns this habit of witnessing things instead of doing things. Once you distance yourself from the thought processes, then you begin to see how what you're experiencing, as Bhagwan says, is just a daydream. Just like when we sleep, we have night dream, and Swami says, this is also a dream, it's just that it is a daydream. You don't believe the night dream, but you unfortunately think that this daydream is real. And that is the reason why we associate ourselves so much with it, and that is the reason why we fall into delusion. Sir, your thoughts on this, and from your life's experience, if you can share, why is it that we get into this delusion? And Bhagwan is explaining here about these tendencies, and Swami says, yes, those tendencies are there, but we can get over it once we have the fire of wisdom. The fire of wisdom can ensure that all the blackness, all the darkness of these delusion can disappear. So if you can share from your readings, from your experience.
Om Sri Sai Ram.
Yes, sir.
I offer my pranams to Swami. I'll share a small episode in my life.
Sure, sir.
This is about, you touched upon that life is a dream.
Yes.
And when I served in Australia in the Samiti as a spiritual coordinator, initially I was a service coordinator, then became a spiritual coordinator. So during the time, one of my friends said, hey, there is a book available. It is being, because it's not moving very fast, the bookseller is giving it at half the price.
Uh-huh.
So the book is called I Am That, Nisargadatta Maharaj.
Nisargadatta Maharaj, yes.
So I'm going to buy it. Would you like to buy?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I always very much convinced that anything that comes in my life,
mm-hmm,
unasked,
mm-hmm,
never planned,
mm-hmm,
there is a divine play behind it. This is how I take it. So when someone offered it, I said, hey, let us buy the book. So I took the book and then tried to read it. I could not understand it. You know, it was too much abstract and
yes,
it was over the head.
It's quite a...
quite over the head.
Quite a book.
So I could not really enjoy the book or even understand, contemplate, because it's something too difficult for me at the time.
Too esoteric.
So,
yes.
I said, whatever it is, I gave it a try. Let me see, maybe a time will come, I'll read. I kept the book on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
6 months passed. So Swami, in the meantime, brought me through somebody, Yoga Vasishta.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read that book. Then I read some other book. Slowly, slowly, Swami was preparing me. Then one day I said, okay, why not I take this book and read it? Before that, after the Samiti's duties are over, around 6:30 when the bhajans are over on Sunday, all the samiti members, we go to a nearby coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a cup of coffee and have satsang. Mm-hmm. About Swami's leelas and what in how some other house them some vibhuti has come, or you know we share our dreams, all those things. And so I used to sit with them and enjoy the satsang. The only thing is I was an outlier in the group.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody used to talk about Swami coming in their dream.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said this to me and I did this, it exactly happened this. So they were confirming again and again that Swami coming in their dreams and guiding them.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt left out. Because I had nothing to share.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's dream Swami is coming except me. Because mm-hmm. for me, when I sleep on the bed, put my head on the thing, within 5 minutes or so on, so I go into deep sleep. I don't have that dream state in between. Most of the time I go to deep sleep mm-hmm. only. So I never used to get Swami's, but I was feeling a bit embarrassed. I also want to share my experience of the dream Swami is coming. So I used to look at Swami's photographs before going to bed. Swami, today you are coming in my dream. So tomorrow I need to talk about that. And I look at it and go to bed again, I don't get selected. This was going on. Then one day, I took the book of Nisargadatta Maharaj after 6 months. Then I started reading and every word made sense to me.
After 6 months?
After 6 months. Because in the meantime, Swami prepared me, brought a Yoga Vasishta book and other books, slowly mm-hmm. preparing me along the way. Then I was ready to take this book and read. And mm-hmm. after 6 months, when I picked up the book from my shelf, mm-hmm. started reading, somewhere around middle of the page, there is a disciple sitting in front of the Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking, Maharaj, you are telling this life is a dream. Okay, the life which I'm living is a dream. But I can see you, I can touch you, I can feel you.
Hmm.
And I'm asking a question, and spiritual question. You are thinking, your eyes are going into gaze, and then you are answering me. How could it be, you know, dream? This is something real, which I can perceive. Everything, I'm sensing it. For that, the Maharaj replies, it's actually Swami, wanted me to read that. He says, my dear devotees, his name, he said, yes, it is a dream. The life you live is a dream. The only difference is that I have come in your dream to wake you up from this dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very simple statement. It didn't strike me at the time, what was this message? But it had a card, because then later I realized that somewhere in Swami's discourses, Swami said, I am the roaring lion.
Yes.
I have come to wake all of you up.
Yes.
In one of the discourses somewhere.
Yes.
So then I realize I don't have to sleep to get a dream. Mm-hmm. In the dream, Swami has to come. The life itself is a dream.
Beautiful.
And Swami has already come in my dream in Puttaparthi to wake me up.
Yes.
So that the whole idea, the life is a dream,
yes,
was revealed to me by Swami.
Wow.
And took me to this episode. From then on, my life has been the pursuing, realizing that this life is a dream. This is how it goes on.
Wow.
Very, very nice.
So, there are other incidents also happened. I was sitting in the veranda. And Swami used to, you know, one day I came very late. Because I was the head of the department, I used to work very late. Because Swami in the interview told me, do my work, keep me in the Hridaya, do my work.
Mm.
So, I mean, don't worry about my physical darshan. My work is worship. Okay, first to do my work, keep me in the Hridaya. It touched my heart and told me, keep me in the Hridaya
and
do my work.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the dictum by Swami before he blessed me as a HOD.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it because that is by the Lord himself. So
yes.
I will not go beyond that. So for me, my job which he has given as a HOD, that was the number one priority. So I used to work from morning, sometime very late in the night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly I'll find some student walking into my room saying that, sir, I saw the light upstairs. I know you are working. I know I have not seen you in the mandir. So I have brought prasadam for you.
Oh.
Swami used to somehow inspire some students to even bring prasadam for me. So I used to, one day I came around 6:30, 6:40. I was sitting I wanted to sit in the veranda. Swami has been waiting from 6 o'clock onwards. He had come and he has been waiting more than 45 minutes. The time has come for him to go back to his residence. But I came and Swami was still sitting there. But I came rushing to take a place in the veranda, absolutely there is no place. Fully packed. Then I little bit of a, you know, the human tendency is, you know, suddenly we become worldly. Swami talks about that in 6.1.
Yes.
That mind is always through vasanas attracted towards the worldly things, attachments. I had, see, Swami, you had asked me to do the job, I'm doing your work, but when I come to the veranda, I don't even have a place to sit and have a darshan of you, Swami. At that moment, the, internally, the voice clearly told me that, hey, this life is living is a dream. It does not matter whether you sit in the first row or last row, or you're standing or sitting. You be happy that I have come in your dream and you are having my darshan of myself. This was very loud and clear voice, because this was a confirmation what happened in Australia. And then he has been guiding me. So immediately my pain of saying not getting a place and all gone, I was so happy. And then Swami's chair turned, and then it was turned towards the you know, the his residence. So many people who sat in the first row, they thought Swami's darshan is over. Many of them quietly walked out. But I went and occupied the first row. But I was so inspired by Swami's guidance within me. You know, my love for Swami was flowing, and I borrowed a piece of paper from my neighbor, Vinay Thakkar, was the temp professor. He was my MBA department. I brought it, got it from him. Instantly, I started writing a poem about the dream. Then I it was in a couple of sheets. I was holding it, hoping that maybe Swami, I'll give it to Swami. But Swami's chair has already started moving.
So he's already retiring.
So, and he, because he has been there for quite some time in the mandir, so there's no expectation of him to come around. But for my sake, he took a U-turn and came back again. And this time I'm sitting in the first row.
Wow.
Where people have walked away. And then I was holding this poem in my hand. Swami crossed me. He didn't take the poem from my hand. And after crossing me, I said, okay. Swami's decided not to take it. Maybe another day I'll write the same thing in a nice paper and then give it to him. But he put his hand behind without even seeing me. With the two fingers, he just plucked the poem from my hand.
He loves to do things in the most unexpected way.
So confirming that my concept of the dream is actually, that's correct. That's what he's confirming.
Wow.
For listener's sake, I would like to read the poem.
Oh, great.
It's only a couple of lines.
Sure.
Swami, if my life is a dream, who will cry when I die? Okay. If I live this dream, for whom shall I cry? Because this is a dream. There, nothing is existing. Everything is an illusion. They say, because Nisargadatta Maharaj said in his book, I Am That, you are truly alone in this dream. That's what he says. They say, I am truly alone in this dream. You say, you have come in my dream to wake me up. You and I, in my dream, I am alone, Swami. Correct? Now that you have come, I am not alone. For this, you say, you and I are one. Oh, now I know. I am truly alone, Swami. This is how the poem ends.
Oh, you are alone because you and Swami are one.
So, it's, then Swami, you know, is confirmed that I should pursue this path of the dream.
Wow.
And so that from then on, my life is always looking at many things. And you know, when you get perturbed through many events in your life, when the mind draws you to the trials and tribulations of life, I always take one step backwards and remind myself what Swami had, you know, revealed to me. Ask the question, if this life is a dream, is it really worth worrying about these things happening? This is how I quieten my life and take my life further. This is how I do it.
Wow. So that immediately calms you, isn't it?
It calms down.
You are totally detached from...
Become a witness position. You take a position of a witness.
Yes.
Instead of getting embroiled in the thoughts and the beliefs of the thoughts and what's happening to me, why me and all those things.
Yes.
Every time something like that challenges you, you take a step. Ask yourself, if this is a dream, when I wake up from this dream, the dream is not going to... Even if I win $100 million, if I win a lottery, the dream is finished. There is no $100 million. Correct? When I wake up from this dream. So, why worry about it?
Why worry
about it? You know, why... Because it's all transient and passing. Like a clouds. So, we should let it go. So, I... It's not that I'm perfect. I do lose my temper. I get all those, the vasanas, as the Swami says, it always gets dragged you. But it has this approach of Swami's guidance, using Swami's guidance as a method of calming down, really helped me a lot.
Wow. In fact, Bhagavan says that the way to get rid of this delusion, Swami says, is bhakti and virakti. So you need devotion and detachment.
Vairagya.
And Swami says, there are three ways of doing this. One is anashakti, desirelessness. Then Swami says virakti, detachment. And then upeksha, Swami says. Upeksha is being in a state of equanimity, not expecting anything, no apeksha, no expectation from whatever is happening. So I think once, in fact, Bhagavan says in that discourse very beautifully that if you reach this stage of anashakti, where you don't expect, where you don't have any desire, then you will live a life of apraptasya prapanam. Swami says, which means it is securing which is highly unattainable, which is the continuous stream of divine grace because you don't have any desire.
You touched upon the grace. If you look at this particular 6.1 we are reading, the first sentence, Bhakta says, Swami, anything with your grace is shubham. Anything without a grace, ashubham. He says, no. Grace has always been there.
Yes.
Grace has always been pouring down.
Yes.
An immense thing.
Yes.
But shubham and ashubham, both are out of my grace.
Grace.
The ashubham which is happening is also a lesson for you to be on the spiritual path.
Yes.
If it is everything shubham only, you will never think of God. Correct?
Yes.
So we have to go through this. Both are given by God so that we walk in His path.
Yes.
So we reach the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. So the first stand is very potent actually.
Yes.
The duality and non-duality.
Yes.
Both present in the self.
Yes.
So the without Swami's grace and love, the shubham and shubham will not happen.
Yes.
So both are out of His grace. Both are embedded.
Yes.
That's what He says.
Yes, Swami says.
It's embedded in the self. So very nice.
Since the end result is shubham, there is nothing like ashubham actually.
Yeah.
Everything is shubham for Swami.
Because the grace.
Yes.
Grace is shubham only.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
We see it as in the Mahabharata, they talk about Kundi Devi. She tells Krishna, no?
Yes.
Krishna, please give me only difficulties so that I will not think of anything else. I will only remember you all the time.
Yes.
So, the ashubham is also, for her, the difficulty is actually a means of more even rooted to Krishna.
Absolutely. The joy of remembering the Lord for her is much more
intense.
I've never seen a better demonstration of this shubham and ashubham thing which we think about, think the way we do. In Swami's life. See, the way a person, a newborn child is taken to Swami for blessing. Swami just blesses.
Yes.
And the very next person is conveying to Swami about the death of a person in his
life.
In his life or at his home. And Swami blesses him too. But normally, this untouching, untouchability or whatever you call it, at that time of ashubham time, you don't do any shubhakarma. But this very Lord was continuously...
Because he is beyond
shubham. What he is talking about, he is walking that.
Absolutely.
So he is the one walking the talk.
Absolutely, literally.
Literally, yes.
And that's what happens when God comes down in a human form. You can actually see. The message becomes alive.
Yeah.
The another important thing that I note in that, he says, if mind is so powerful, always being dragged into external events and other things, always outward looking, that means are we destined to be doomed? This is what he's asking.
Yes.
But Swami very nicely says, no, you can come out of it by inquiring or through Swami's grace, and with the grace of the Lord, you can, like a charcoal burning out, you can, through Jnana Yoga, you can actually come out of it, and then everything will become sattvic.
Yes.
That's what Swami says in his
Yes.
Okay, so on.
Yes.
But however, if you see few more steps below, Swami says, The mind is a boat, is required to cross the river from one bank of the river to the other river.
Correct.
But when you cross to the other side, you don't need the boat. So you discard the boat.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So to cross from one side to the other side, from outward to the inward,
yes,
you need the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Without the mind, you cannot do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also very powerful. You know, it's in the name of the dialogue.
Yeah.
He has given a wonderful, very, very strong information and message.
The question and answer is by the Lord himself.
He himself framed the question, he himself answering it. But the question is also powerful and the answer is also very powerful. Very nice.
Mm.
I'm really touched upon that people will say, no, we should annihilate the mind.
Mm.
You know, we should be, you know, thoughtless and all those things. But you cannot.
Yes.
Reading this Bhakta and Swami's dialogue with Swami himself.
You need the mind. But how do you use the mind?
Yeah.
The question is, you need the mind, but mind is most of the time is pulling towards outward.
Correct.
How do you need? The one of the things I read in Ramana Maharishi's book, what he says that it is very difficult to control the mind. You cannot. The moment you say you control the mind, more thoughts will come, more will drag you out. So let it come. Just be a witness, watch all the fun coming and going.
Mm.
But however, in order to eliminate most of the thoughts coming because of your vasanas, predispositions, you log on to one particular thought. That thought could be a music which pleases you,
mm-hmm,
or it could be a Lord who is a form and the name, or chanting of some name of the Lord. So you choose something so that your thought is on only focused on that one way.
So you channelize the mind.
Channelize all your energy to one,
mm,
so that all other thoughts are slowly not coming and troubling you.
Yes.
Over a period of time, your mind becomes so strong, so you become 100% focused on the one thought.
Mm.
But then a time will come, even the one thought you have to let it go,
mm,
in order to be enlightened.
Mm.
So the mind is required?
Yes.
As a focus, attention, one-pointedness towards, mm, the Lord?
Yes.
Cross the other side, and even that also should go. The moment you merge with the Lord, there is no need for you to have any more,
yes,
any more things. So,
mm,
very, very powerful statement in the
mm,
Swami's discourse. When I read this today, the Swami's grace only that even those document has come to me. I was really fascinated and thrilled because Swami has been preparing for this also for quite some time.
Yes.
I ended up reading Ramana's talks. Aribu Gita and various things I have been reading. So this, now I see that the entire thing is like the essence Swami had given it. What I read about 750 pages of books there, it's just written in one or two statements by Swami here.
Knowing that we are not the body, we get into the body of truth.
Ah,
see how beautifully Swami is taking us through this body and...
The body of knowledge, yes, that is the truth.
Yes, the falsity of it and then the truth in it. Which is embedded in it.
Correct.
That is a journey from unconscious to conscious.
Most often we always, for example, in satsang we hear, you introduce me as so-and-so professor. So what happens? You are attached to your body as, you know, Pushti. I am here to Chandrasekhar. So you introducing me because we are so ingrained,
yes,
that we attach to our body. And we relate with this body, so-and-so is existing, sitting there, and we are all having discussions. Correct? To let go of this body consciousness is very difficult,
yes,
task. But unless you do practice all the time, remember, what people are saying is that if everything is unreal, not that you are real, your body and you are touched real, rest of it are unreal.
Mm.
Even your own body is unreal.
Yes.
The body which you say is also through senses only.
Yes.
The sensory perception only gives you the body, the feelings, everything is there. All through senses only. So anything through sensory perception and which is changing and transient, because body is not permanent.
Yes.
It keeps on changing. I was very young 40 years back. Mm. Now I am old. So the body is also changing. Anything that is changing and transient, it's an illusion. It's
unreal.
So we have to include in the illusion our own body also.
Yes.
Most of time, what happened, we look at ourselves from the external world. Ah, this is an illusion. This is an illusion. Forgetting the fact that you are still attached to the body.
You yourself are an illusion.
Yeah.
But the field of this experiment itself is the very body now.
Mm.
Because of the body only, you are able to...
You need to use the body. Understand the body itself is illusion.
Yes.
It's an instrument of, given,
yes,
for you to realize the ultimate truth.
Swami says, na deham pancha bhautikam. దేహం కూలక తప్పదెప్పుడు, కానీ దేహి నిరామయుండు. ఆ నిజముగా చూడగా ఆ దేహియే దేవదేవుడు. ద వెరీ ఇండ్వెల్లర్ సీటెడ్ ఇన్ యువర్ బాడీ ఈజ్ ద వెరీ గాడ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్స్.
He's asking where is they are all rooted, because he says that jnanendriyas and all that.
Yes.
Out of the four, he's saying, Swami, what is it? Manas, buddhi,
chittam,
ahankar. And ahankar. So where they are rooted, then Swami is saying where they are rooted. Buddhi is in the speech.
Yes.
Ahankara is in the heart.
Yes.
Oh, then chittam is in the other one.
Navel.
Navel. Mm. You know, and then one more is also there now. That is speech. Buddhi is in the speech.
Manas is in the capula.
Manas in the capula.
Yeah.
So he said, yeah, everything is there. But what happens? We are now saying that it is located in the body. The body is an illusion.
Mm. Mm.
See, it's a sort of a contradicting correct, isn't it? Mm. So when there is an illusory body is there, but now we are locating that with respect to the body, these are located there.
Yes.
So it's a very, very complicated thing. But
I was wondering why ahamkaram is, its place is near heart. Did you think about that?
Yeah, I because there is something came in the Ramana's book.
Ahankaram is ego.
Hmm.
Why is it close to the heart where the Lord is residing? I got the answer for it, in fact, when I thought about it. Because ahamkaram is not this ahamkaram, the little ego that we have. There is only one I.
Aham.
There is only one I.
Hmm.
It only temporarily, as it is in the body, it branches out of it.
Hmm.
Its purpose is to go back to it, merge in it. Yes. There is only one eye that remains.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, where here in this first segment, when Bhagavan is saying that when the fire of jnana enters, then the charcoal becomes red. So too, even though the mind is wandering in the darkness of worldly attachments, when through the God's grace the fire of wisdom enters it, then everything changes. Everything becomes sattvic.
See, the darkness actually means tamasic. Tamasic
exactly.
Is actually, you know, like they represent the darkness by tamas.
Tamas.
Tamas guna.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Tamo guna.
Yes.
So, what says, by through the fire of jnana,
yes,
the tamo guna will become a sattvic guna. The whole thing will become a sattvic guna.
Yes.
So theoretically, means the path of jnana yoga is already, what is all about? We are already there. Swami says, you are God, my God. We are the only thing we don't realize. That's what Swami also said.
Yes.
The godliness is always there. Only thing is that falsehood of me attached to the body, that this is the one more real than the other one, that once you drop the falsity,
mm-hmm,
of that notion, that concept of I am this body,
mm,
then automatically the other one is revealed.
Mm. Yes. So I was just thinking a little aloud on how to give up this attachment to the body. And one thought that comes to me is the more and more you associate yourself not with the body in the sense that you think of yourself less, as Bhagavan says, the more and more you expand your love, the more and more you, Swami says, you know, expansion, love is expansion of life is love.
Swami said, be selfish, include everybody.
Yeah.
In a very nice way. So, be selfish, but include everyone.
Everyone.
So, yes. I mean, if everyone is a family, there is no question of selfish.
Yes, exactly. So, just like it is for the love.
It's an expansion anyway.
Yeah,
so,
expansion,
indirectly.
Yeah. So, I think that is one way. Once you do service, once you constantly are expanding your horizon of compassion, expanding your ambit of sharing love, slowly, I think, you know, you don't identify yourself so much with your body. You start identifying yourself more and more with, it starts with a family, then it becomes a community, then it becomes the society, then that. I think that is the way you can slowly come out of it.
Then one day you realize unity in diversity.
Unity, yes.
All in one in all, like that.
Yes.
So, question, keep on including.
Yes.
Everyone has become a family. Ultimately, yes, they become limbs of you.
Yes, exactly.
So there is no...
Yes.
They are not separate. They are not separate from you.
Yeah. I mean, Swami says even if there are organizations who do service, you know, in fact, when Bhagavan had gone to a Lions Club way back in 1969 and he was addressing the members of this organization in East-West Godavari district in Rajahmundry, Swami said, you are all doing good work, but the thing is, if you constantly are doing service with an attitude of helping the other, Swami says it is not only not of much use, but it can even be dangerous. Because that whole thought of separateness will not help you in any way on the spiritual path. Until you do service with the feeling,
selfless love
with the feeling wherein you recognize the unity of divinity. Until you do it with that feeling, that service is
still the separateness is there.
Until you,
I'm serving somebody.
Yes.
So someone said, if you say that you are serving somebody, you are not serving somebody.
Yes.
If you say that I'm serving someone, that means you're not serving someone.
So I think that's what, when we expand our love, I think that unity, to slowly practice to see that unity in the diversity is what probably help us, I think, get over the body attachment.
That's why Swami gave importance only to service. See, sadhana and spirituality, all these things are to be kept aside first. Because that becomes a little selfish thing. If you do your own sadhana, meditation, inwardly, the only way is to purify yourself first, prepare the ground, prepare the ground. And service is the best path actually for that.
The Ramana Maharishi, somebody asked the same question. Swami, what do? I don't understand. The Jnana Marga is too difficult for me. Then he says, if it is too difficult for you to go into the who am I inquiry path, Jnana Marga, ultimate, then do pranayama, the breath control, yoga, all that you do. If that is too difficult, you cannot bend your body, bend your mind, or mend your mind. All those you do, then do just service. Service without the feeling of separateness. That's exactly. Unconditional love. Pour it out. Don't be judgmental about anybody for anything. Just every opportunity to serve someone, go for it and serve. So that means, as you do the service, that's what I say, then you will go to the next level, a yogic level. And then from there, automatically you will end up in the final question of who am I. That is why Swami has prescribed for all of us the easiest path in Kali Yuga. Namaswarana, service.
Correct.
Very simple. Because it's Kali Yuga, the easiest way of the enlightenment is Namaswarana.
Yes.
But why Namaswarana? Namaswarana, with intensity you do, it becomes one-pointedness.
Correct.
The one-pointedness is the only one thought. You only suppose Rama, 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 Sai Rama, Sai Rama. You only thinking about Sai Rama all the time. Continuously chanting about Swami is internally, the Ajapa Japa they call.
Yes.
Internally the Japa is going on. Then the one-pointedness automatically comes. Then other things, service happens, the hand serves. But internally Japa is going on. The one-pointedness comes. A day will come, you'll see everything is unified, then automatically you get the enlightenment. So the service, what Swami prescribed, and the Namaswarana is fantastic actually. So,
in fact, in that discourse I was reading, Bhagwan says, once you develop that love for God, then faith will happen. Once that faith happens, then knowledge will automatically dawn. And when the knowledge dawns, with that knowledge, once you do sadhana, then you'll really very easily reach the goal.
In Tamil, there is a saying, in Tamil. What it means is, because of your grace, I'm even bowing at your lotus feet. So, without grace, nothing will happen.
Yes.
But our sincerity in initial stages, when you're still with this body attachment, sincerity of doing good, practicing what sadhana do, simplest sadhana is service, and then Namaswarana, that will take you to different levels of ultimately reaching what Swami says here. You know, you have come at the right location.
How do we win that grace? Through service.
Through service only.
You qualify for
grace
when you do service. And with grace comes all this wisdom. Automatically. If you do service, all this is comfort to you.
Automatically comes.
I have been living example of this. For myself, I'm not boasting about it. The state in which I was when I came to Swami, I don't know anything about spirituality. I never read any book. But I knew, for me, Swami was God. And this God has not failed me as on day today. when I realize the way I have grown inwardly. See, I have just seen Swami. I just kept seeing Swami, and over a time now I feel that I am seeing as Swami. I am no longer seeing Him. Because all this is, this understanding is coming automatically. When I read these scriptures like Sandeha Nivarini, then I feel, yes, I have gone through this. I understand this. Because living with Swami was that education automatically. I didn't have to read any of these books. But today when I read it, I enjoy that bliss. When I become part of this satsang, I enjoyed it so much continuously. It's bliss non-stop.
Most of the great saints, if you look at it, they are not very educated, you know, high qualification. Even Swami threw his books, came from the Golconda. He said, hell with it. My devotees are waiting, and he just threw the books. But what he is talking about, Atma Vidya, correct? No?
Yes.
So similarly, Ramana Bhagavan is for 10 years, 12 years, he was in the cave and he enlightened. Nisargadatta Maharaj is a bidi seller. He enlightened. There are stories about the old sages. Remember that one sage will burn a bird on the tree because the bird will disturb the fellow doing meditation. He will burn the thing. And then somebody will say that, you go and talk to someone. So and so, he is enlightened. He will send him to another lady also. So the lady is actually serving her husband. And then she says, wait. Then this fellow will get angry and then look at her very angrily. He said, oh, you think that you can burn me like the bird you burned in the forest? So what I'm saying is, they did not do anything.
Yes.
But they were karma yogis.
Yes.
They were down to earth. They were serving the husband. Means the husband was God. They were serving God only. So God's grace, as you say, will pour down on you immensely, provided our surrender and do the service as the easiest path.
This is how I interpret Swami's words also. Swami said that you do my work, I will do yours. Because His work is the service that He has given to us. Our work is this inward growth, which is not possible for us to attain
without His grace.
Without that grace. That He will do for you. It is He who is doing that sadhana through us. I can say.
Be active in this whatever world, illusion, whatever it is.
Yes.
But with all this offering to Swami as a...
Yes.
It is a lot of sweet.
Sir, I think you have definitely experienced this because you are someone who left everything in Australia and came and started.
No, I wouldn't say that. It is Swami who inspired and made us to come here. In fact, even now we feel that, whatever He has given is given by His grace. It all belongs to Him. In fact, when people say that, we give our... go give it to Swami and this and that. Who are you to give anything to Swami? Do you own anything? Correct? No. Everything belongs to Swami only. So we don't own anything. He has given us as a custodian and many of the things we are enjoying the fruits of it. That's all. Otherwise, it's all given by Him. I feel that I will not say that we left everything came because it's inspiration, Swami's love and then guidance. Made us that nothing mattered in the world. I could have stayed in Australia when I resigned my job. Many of my friends used to come and say, hey, God is everywhere. But money is not everywhere. You be in Australia, make more money, you are a good job, and use the money for service. So they were trying to convince, me, but I said, nothing doing, I'm going. We have decided to go, we are going to with Swami only. So many times these type of thoughts, other things will be challenge you. But how well we are rooted in the basic concept and not being swayed by this other thing, that is very important. No matter what happens, this is the way I will go, no matter what happens, I will not deviate from it. That's very important.
We have our statutory auditor who has been doing free service for the trust for a long time. One day I happened to ask him, sir, what makes you offer free service? At least you should take your to and fro charges for the number of times you visit here. He said, Srinivas, for what Swami has done for me, this is nothing. Swami has, when I came to Swami's fold, I was nobody. Today I have very good clientele. And money just comes without asking. Money is not an issue at all. And he is not the only person. I have seen recently also, I met another internal auditor who had come. He says, everything is given by Swami. So this is the experience of people when he says, Iham and Param, both he is giving. Not only on this world, even beyond this. But even in this world also he is assuring you. Not many can do that.
Yeah, when you go through the pain, real pain, he gives like a morphine injection. You go through it, but you don't feel the pain much actually. So, yeah. Mm. But, you know, Swami's, with the Swami's grace only, we are all here, we are living in His glory. You know, it's the greatest opportunity, you know.
I also remember to redeem ourselves. One more auditor. He was a devotee of Swami from his younger days. Once he got an interview with his mother also. Then Swami asked him, ask for something. Then, you know, any devotee will always feel so contented that he doesn't want to ask anything. Unasked, everything has been given. So he said again, Swami, you have given everything. What is there to ask for me? No, still ask something. I want to give something to you. Then he said, okay, since Swami, you are insisting, I have got two daughters. Help me financially during that to perform their wedding or something. Then Swami immediately said, other than money, you ask anything. And immediately qualified by saying, because I am Lakshmi Swarupa, and whoever comes to me, that is the first thing I give without being asked.
You don't even ask.
See how, what a Lord he is.
Wow. Wow.
It's not just the spiritual attainments. Even the worldly existence also is taken fully care by him. He always loves it when you offer it to him. Unconditionally, just leave it to him. Who will take that kind of a responsibility? In the interview rooms, as you have seen, to everybody he assures, from now onwards I will take it. Swamunnadu, Swamintalchupani. How so easily, swiftly he keeps assuring everybody. And you know, in the interview room, you need not even ask him anything. Unasked, he is giving to you. All you need to do is just go and do Padanamaskaram. In fact, some of us used to do Pradakshina to him in the personal interview room. The family, when they are there, if you are aware, then you just request Swami, then he allows very graciously. So this kind of Lord, inside the interview room, you don't have to ask. You think 100 things, not one thing comes to your mind.
I'll tell you one story of an Australian lady. Mm-hmm. She used to come save some money every year and come regularly to see Swami. She was in the wheelchair. So, and she had a minor cancer, kidney, some cancer also there. So once she came to see Swami in the year 2000. Her birthday was 18th of August. I still remember. Mm-hmm. So she came with her son. And then Swami called both of them for interview. Every year she comes, Swami invariably will call them. She will sit in the wheelchair in the end. Swami will come in from the thing, said, come for the interview. So when Swami said, so what do you want? Her name is Connie Sims. Mm-hmm. What do you want, Connie? She said, Swami, I don't want anything. He said, no, what do you want? Swami, I don't want anything. Come on, what do you want? Mm. I said, Swami, I don't want anything. Mm-hmm. Then Swami said, came very close to her and said, your cancer is cancelled.
Oh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She didn't ask for it. Mm. And then when she came back, she said, my Lord has told me that cancer is cancelled. So there's no need for me to go for chemotherapy, all the medicines and everything. She stopped everything. Mm-hmm. Okay. So 2-3 years went. One day she was in Adelaide. Mm-hmm. She belonged to Queensland. She came to Adelaide for some conference, mm-hmm. Sai conference only. Mm-hmm. She was there in Adelaide and there she had an attack.
Oh.
And then immediately she was admitted in the hospital and doctor, through the past record, they found that she has got a cancer and all. Mm-hmm. They said, you believed somebody, some saint or some sage, somebody in India, believed him and you stopped all your medicines. We are sure that your cancer spread all over the body. Mm-hmm. So we can prove it to you. He said, no, you won't prove. I have no problem. Mm-hmm. My Lord has told me it will not be there. Mm-hmm. See, the confidence and the... And they took the blood test and everything. They couldn't find even a trace of the cancer.
Oh, wow.
See, what I'm saying is that, then I asked her, Kani, why you did not ask about cancer? You were suffering from cancer. You could have asked Swami, Swami, please, I'm suffering from cancer. Help me out. He said, no, this body will go. But I want the association with the Lord permanently, irrespective of my birth.
Wow.
I want that, not this body. This body will, today is there, tomorrow is not there. Who wants this, you know, cure this body? You know, that much of conviction is required. So because in order for Swami's this discourse is, you need to leave the body, the attachment, the sensory perceptions, you know, they are all going outwards, attached to the worldly things. If you want to leave all those things, leave the body. We need only the Lord, nothing else.
Wow.
Because this really touched me, because I just entered into Swami's fold, and the first experience of this person, and then along with her son was there in the interview room. And then son asked Swami, because they're Christians, you know, devout Christians. Mm-hmm. She said, he asked Swami, Swami, please pardon me for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
Again, yes, Swami, please forgive my sins.
Mm-hmm.
Swami again pulled him close.
Mm-hmm.
He was a 6 feet tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then that fellow leaned down and knelt his, bent his neck down and told Swami, please forgive my sins.
Mm-hmm.
Then instantly something happened.
Mm-hmm.
That fellow was dazed. And he didn't speak for some time. After interview, my mother and both son came out. He said, Andrew, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, when I was asking 3 times, Swami, please forgive my sins, the last time when I asked, Swami disappeared, I saw myself. See the message. Mm-hmm. What Swami is saying, that there is no need for a separate God from whom you have to take, you know, pardon.
Hmm.
You are the God himself, so you have to forgive yourself.
Hmm.
So Swami replaced him with his own image.
Oh my
so
God.
He said, that's why he completely dazed out. He said, so but he was telling, I saw myself and then I didn't
very
know what
beautiful.
But the beautiful message, because I heard this message, it was so wonderful. The Christian people generally think of that God, Jesus being in the heaven, or you know, God being in heaven, they are separate. You know, we'll die, we'll go to heaven, and all those things are there. On the day of judgment day, everybody will rise from the grave. The beliefs are different, correct? But Swami was saying that, no, all are one. You are God, I am God. You don't have to ask pardon from me.
Yes.
You have to forgive yourself.
Forgive yourself.
Wonderful.
Nisargadatta Maharaja's one quote is there, when he's, and the disciple asks, I have sinned so much, how can I get, how can I be redeemed? And he says, say sorry to yourself.
Self.
You don't need to ask somebody for pardon.
Yes. Yes.
And Swami has also taught us this only.
Yeah.
In fact, Swami, you should never like it whenever anyone, you should say that I'm a sinner. You know, there were bhajans where the word
correct.
I am a sinner. It used to come.
Aparadh kshama karo sahib.
Yeah, Swami would never like. Swami would never want us to identify ourselves as a sinner or as someone who had done a mistake.
Never.
He said, Swami would always say that you should identify yourself as Amritasya Putra.
Yeah.
I can tell a very, very nice experience on this particular one. One of my very close friends, whom I know for 20 years, he had some problem with the family and the family got separated. So I was very depressed. He called me and said, see, Chase. They called me Chase at the time in Australia. He said, I don't feel like living anymore. I want to commit suicide. So I, no, don't do it. Swami had given this body for seva and all those things. I was giving lecture on him on the phone. And I should have gone to him and then spent some time with him and his family and to see what's going on, how can I help him? Instead, because I was also going through some difficult time in my job. I was not having a job, I was running around. So in the process, I only talked to him on the phone. After 21 days, he committed suicide.
Oh my God.
Okay. So family lost him. I am sitting in the mandir, in this samiti, crying. I felt, saying the emotionally charged, saying, Swami, I made a mistake. What sort of friend I am, whom I know him for nearly 20 years, I have not gone to his help when there is a really need to help him. So we have sinned. Exactly. We don't feel like living anymore. If we can't help a friend whom we know 20 years, family friend, what sort of friend I am? You know, so slow esteem and crying actually. That time, Swami, you know, when you cry, Swami, you know, Swami, that time, they used to read the message from the book, Swami's book. So that chairperson came and opened it. He said, two lines only, Swami's discourse. Do not pour over your grief. Do not shed tears. Let it pass through, you know, with no trail behind. Like the bird when it flies in the sky, it doesn't leave a trail behind, so it also passed through. It was a message from the book, Swami's discourse. Somebody has collected it under some topic. When chairperson opened it, that exactly that's what came. So what Swami is saying, that no matter what happens, whether abuse or price, you know, sorrows, whatever comes, events occur, you should be equipoised, equanimity, never to be perturbed. The moment you take anything, either it's a joy, pleasure or a pain, you are actually adding to your karmic basket.
Absolutely.
So that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So basically, what you are trying to say is that, that's why Swami says, if you say sin, sin, what happens? You are reacting.
Yeah.
More you react, more you are adding to the basket.
Correct. Yes.
So then more births. Mm-hmm. Correct. That vasanas will increase.
Mm-hmm.
In the same discourse, talking about vasanas only. Wow. So
lastly, I just want to ask you, sir. I mean, when students come and ask you, sir, how to not be affected by the vasanas, because at the young age we have so many pulls and attractions, what is the advice you want to give them?
See, it depends on each case. Like, for example, you know, I had different friends, different students, different problems. I always sit with them. First is the pour like a motherly love. You know, you pour the love towards, because Swami clearly said, these are my students, they are my property. So they have been given to us to look after. So first we need to bring them down from emotional level to a calmer level. So first you counsel them, bring them down to a normal plateau slowly, and then give them the hug and whatever they need to feel that we are there for them anytime. They can come to me and open up their heart. So then they open up, and slowly we say that these are the problem. Why don't you look at this problem in this perspective? You know, why don't you look? So we try to coach them and help them out. And after that, you know, when they come out of it, they feel very, very, you know, happy that, you know, they have some friend
they in the department. They need
somebody to talk to.
Yes.
So most often what happens is, you know, I am as a professor, you know, don't trouble me. Sometimes, you know, because you may be busy with so many other work, you don't want to be burdened with some other things. You say, hey, come later, take an appointment. It could be very easily could be told. But because when we came to Swami, because Swami had given this opportunity, I have never sent anybody away. I took it as like personally, anybody, anytime, whatever work I do, when the students come to stand next to me, I stop the work. And then they say, come on, sit down, what do you want? So that has really helped me a lot. In fact, more than the boy, it has helped me.
Correct.
We think that, you know, he is coming and we are helping him. No.
Yes.
By bringing him to calm down, I have to be calm. See, how can I be perturbed and bring somebody a peace in somebody? Correct.
Yes.
Swami says, don't have castor oil face. You know, remember, many discourses say, people are having castor oil face. Why? You if you have joy inside, no, you cannot have a castor oil. If you are happy inside, you cannot have a castor oil face.
Swami says, I don't like castor oil faces.
No, Swami always says, don't like castor oil face. So, when you have a castor oil face, then you yourself is in trouble. So, unless you redeem yourself, you be happy, then you are ready for even counseling or guiding somebody.
Swami's advice is, for such situations, offer everything to me.
Yes.
Offer all your bad to me, for no bad touches me. Take all my good. So, just as we were discussing that, you know, we should not have too much feelings that we have sinned, we are sinners. Like that only, we don't have to carry this baggage. Whatever is there, as it is, offer it to Swami. And you have a friend who is God Himself. So, He is the best friend to talk to. And He is a living being. He's always, even when he is physically not here, he is with you, in front of you, if you really invoke him with all your heart.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful God we have.
Yes. Wow. Make God your friend and everything else will be taken
care
of. Yeah.
Yes.
No other way you can really come out of this.
In fact, that is so true. In fact, Bhagwan in one discourse, Swami says that, you know, people relate to me as different relationships, you know. But Swami says, when someone calls me as a darling, as a beloved, I love the most. Swami says that is what he really, really loves to hear, and that is how he wants us to be with him.
And you can take liberty with Swami.
Yes.
I have sat in front of Swami's photograph and then poured out my heart and questioned him, what is this, Swami? Why this is happening? Mm. And the results will come.
Yes.
You know, the response will come. You know, yes. and suddenly things start moving in a different direction.
Yes.
And problem gets solved. We don't even know why.
But you have to become calm for that.
Yeah. You cannot
direct.
Not with anger.
Yeah.
With lovingly, Swami, what is this, Swami? You know, why, you know, yes. Like, yes. All those things going on. I can probably end the session with the time now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll lastly give one small anecdote again on the veranda only.
Mm-hmm.
When Swami blessed me in 2004, he blessed me, took the letter, spoke to me on the Vrindavan,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't take Padanamaskar mm-hmm. because my mind was dazed. First time I'm having a sambhashan with the Lord in my life. So I had darshan, he spoke to me, he took the letter, he blessed me with the job. But I always had the longing that I should have taken the Padanamaskar. Because everybody says, no, darshan, sambhashan, and the sparshan.
Mm-hmm.
If you get all the three, then your life is redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, two I got, one is missing.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I sit in the veranda, when I see Swami's students coming close by, Swami's pinching their cheek and playing mm-hmm. with them, and then Anil Kumar sir is standing next to him holding Swami's hand, I always felt very jealous about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then one day Swami Anil Kumar sir was sitting, and your Swami was sitting here, you're sitting on the left side, standing on the left side and listening to Swami. Swami was speaking to him. In the right hand, there was a fly, mm-hmm. came and sat on Swami and was looking at Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And it was flipping the thing.
Wings.
And then seeing Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And it would look as though something is speaking, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it is speaking, it is having darshan, and it is having sparshan. So I became very jealous of this fly. Immediately I took a paper from my friend, wrote, Swami, even a fly can have all the three aspersions, so on, but what about me? When are you going to touch me and bless me? I wrote this small chit. I kept it for 10 days. I was continuously chanting Sai Gayatri in the veranda, hoping one day Swami will take it, and then when he has the time, he'll read it. Some other time he say, Bangaru, like that, he'll bless me. This is my thinking, okay? One day Swami came in the golf cart. I was sitting at the back, and then Professor Sood was there. Hey, you have been waiting with the letter for more than 10 days. Why don't you sit in the front? I'll go back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, afford me the corner seat.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and sat, because everything I know, my thing is that if anything happens, without asking, it's all Lord's thing. The Swami got on from the thing, and he was standing beautiful. You know, this pressed robe and radiant. You know, we don't have to say about that. Swami's... I was standing with this thing, he looked at me and then he nodded his head like this. Come and give me this shit. So, in my mind was saying that, oh, now I'm going to give it to Swami. Swami will take the letter, read it sometime and he'll bless me. When I went and knelt in front of him and gave the letter, he took it in the left hand and gave me the right hand.
Oh.
The stretching is left hand, right hand. It didn't strike me. So why is stretching his right hand? Then... Swami's voice is an idiot. This is where the fly was sitting. You are jealous about it. I'm giving you the hand. Better take it. Then I realized, oh my God, size. And then I took the hand, kissed the same place with the fly, I think, and then my tears are flowing down and all. So you can connect with Swami.
Yes.
Intensely. Wow. You can ask like a child.
Really?
He will respond.
Yes.
So long as if our focus is towards the Lord.
Yes.
One day we will lose the body attachment.
Yes.
Fly, thank you.
The fly will go into the fire and become one with the fire.
Yeah, one with the fire.
Beautiful.
What a wonderful, wonderful way to describe the fly chatting with Swami. Like, no.
He's looking at Swami. Like this.
So sweet.
Beautiful. Wow. Thank you so much, sir.
No, it's very Swami's grace only I'm here. To share this glory.
You can join us in the really coming good. Sessions as we discuss chapter 6 by Swami's grace.
Thank you.
So dear listeners, so that was Bhagwan's blessing for us this Thursday. If you have time, do turn the pages of Sandhya Nivarini. It will fill you with bliss, as Brother Srinivas Rao was mentioning. As we walk the path and we listen to what Bhagwan has written, we'll realize that it's the essence of everything that our sages and seers have written in volumes. Bhagwan has just given it us so easily. Let's just not miss this opportunity to do this Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, and fill our lives with Anandam. If you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. We offer this endeavor at His lotus feet with all humility and love. Thank you so much for being with us through this lovely journey. Sai Ram.